said.
Don't believe what I just saw!
I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is John Sheezer. I'm
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta...
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral. Okay.
All right, guys, we are back at full strength. This is Sportsaholics episode number 90. The Neil Smith / the truth, Drew Gooden episode. Eric, how are
number
you?
Number 90. I'm wearing my Dan Klecko Patriot jersey, which also happens to have a 90 on it. So I'm wearing it right now. And just so you know, Dan Klecko was the son of my favorite player of all time, Joe Klecko of the New York Stock Exchange. So he was the son of one of my all-time favorite players. He went on to play with, I believe, two of the New England Patriots Super Bowl teams, the 03 and 04 teams. And then he won another ring with the Colts.
Wait, you have this guy's jersey?
I'm telling you, I have a Dan Klecko number 90 jersey right now. I am wearing it.
Would you be able to tweet that out at least to prove it? Would you know how to do that?
Somebody will tell me. I'll take a picture of it and send it to you, and you'll put it up.
Okay. Because that's impressive. Now, let me ask you this. Did you or have you ever owned an Aaron Hernandez Patriots jersey?
I have never owned. As I often say, Aaron Hernandez is, I believe officially, to the best of my knowledge, the worst human being I have ever rooted for. I have to say that. Like, I don't think I've ever truly rooted for someone who was such a terrible person, murderer, if, you know, alleged murderer. And if those all turn out to be true, then, of course, Aaron Hernandez is the worst person I've ever rooted for, which I have to. But it's also very upsetting because of how good the Aaron Hernandez-Gronkowski tandem was and how that in itself could have changed, you know.
You're like, for all the lives that it changed in a good way, you know, what's a couple dead bodies laying in a marsh somewhere in New England?
Well, I'm saying in a weird way, like the Aaron Hernandez murder trial is just as damaging as, say, Len Bias, his cocaine overdose. It changes how the game and how a franchise fortunes. Now, you could say, well, hey, look at how great the Patriots have gone on without him. I mean, they went to four consecutive AFC championships with or without him, and, you know, two Super Bowls in that four. Winning the last one, but how good would have they been with him? You know, how much more, who's to say that, you know, certain players don't get injured, or, you know, like, you know, maybe Welker gets a few less concussions when he was there, or et cetera, you know, fill in the blanks.
Yeah, that's a lot of what ifs.
Does Deion Lewis blow out his knee in Washington against Washington Redskins this past week because I have Aaron Hernandez and Gronkowski and they're just decimating, you know, everything under the sun?
I mean, okay, obviously having a murderer in the NFL is surprising, but I think one of the big surprising things with that was that he got past Belichick. You know what I mean? Like how he pulled the wool over Belichick's eyes, which a lot of players I think have tried to do, and that those are the ones I think that end up getting cut. So the fact that he could be such a bad person and somehow trick the Patriots staff, you know, that just points
to... Well, I might throw out in a weird way, there are so many fake thugs. There are so many wannabe thugs.
Oh, yeah. No. It's Omaha. It's like, why?
And, you know, there's the people, and, you know what? The people try to come off rougher or meaner or tougher than they really are. And in my own sense, you know, I do that. I try to be more, I try to seem more intimidating or street smart maybe than I really am in certain situations. So I think in some ways, how can I say this? It's like you tricked him because everyone just thinks, this guy, he just signed a $40 million contract. So you're thinking, when push comes to shove, he's not so much thug, he's faux thug, you know, that he's bullshit.
Yeah.
The crazy thing is, he wasn't bullshit. Or it's like, or he had to overcompensate because maybe he's bullshit. And then it's like, you know, he's thinking this is what Scarface fucking does. It's like, dude, you're not Scarface. Like, you don't need to be running. You're making $40 million. You don't need, and you are a Hall of Fame caliber of talent. And you and your team can do amazing things. It's, you know, and so it's still one of the crazier, you know, it's going to be an amazing 30 for 30 out there someday.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's really one of the only blips.
Should be called coulda, woulda, shoulda. That's fucking crazy.
Seriously.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda, the Aaron Hernandez story.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, like the Neil Smith number 90, that was, you're talking about the Chiefs defense in the mid 90s, you know, with Derek Thomas, Neil Smith. Remember, if you remember, he'd wear the Band-Aid across.
That started a craze, but he also betrayed you and went to the Broncos.
Well, you know what? He got some rings there. I can't hate him for that. But I don't really think, it's hard to say this. Like, the Chiefs aren't a Super Bowl caliber franchise. That, in the sense of, they've had numerous opportunities to have the game, to make the play, and they've always balked at it. Whether they blow a 28-point lead against the Colts in a rookie Andrew Luck, you know, whether they miss a field goal in the 98 playoffs. Several years worth of playoffs. I mean, they've had ample opportunities to make that next step as a franchise, and they continue to just slip and slip over and over again. You know, with Dungy, not Dungy, Vermeil, and the guy on ESPN. What, help me out here? The real loud, the sock guy, the guy on ESPN with the socks, Herm Edwards. Edwards.
Yeah.
When he coached, you know, and now Andy Reid. Yeah. It's, they just don't have it, you know, and the fans are there, and the fans are going to root for the Chiefs no matter what.
If I could sum up what an outsider, a non-Chiefs fan sees when we look at the Chiefs franchise, if I could sum it up in two words or in one player, those two words, one player, would be Elvis Gerback. Because it's one of those things, like Elvis Gerback as a player, Elvis Gerback is a name, is sort of like Elvis. Sounds exciting. Sounds like Elvis Presley. Then it's Gerback. It's like, first half of the season, you guys are 7-1, 8-0. I've seen so many Chiefs seasons. I mean, this one you've kind of been derailed since the beginning. But you guys end up playing two halves of, there's a schizophrenic two-faced thing going on with you guys often.
Well, because of Elvis Gerback, I actually had lunch suspension in high school because we went into the McDonald's, and what we did is there was a huge 8-foot Elvis Gerback cutout with him holding like a Happy Meal or French fries or something like that in Chiefs uniform. So what we did was opposite that side of the register, the other, we created a diversion. We ordered a large beverage. We knock it over on the counter, right? So it spills ice soda everywhere. Meanwhile, while that's happening, two friends come in the back door where the Elvis Gerback cutout is, grab it, fold it in half, run outside, throw it in the car, take back
off. Elvis Gerback.
Fantastic. It was a great grab.
Yeah, that might have been what cursed the Kansas City Chiefs franchise all the time. You guys, aside from Super Bowl IV, which in some ways really helps cement that the AFL could play with the NFL, like, you know, Super Bowl IV winning against the Vikings was just as important, in some ways more important than Joe Namath, Broadway Joe Jets.
It's the follow-up. It wasn't a fluke victory, you know?
And now we're squared 2-2. You know, it's going into game five, you know, Super Bowl V, we're squared up 2-2. Even though that was one, I think the Colts actually transfer over to the AFC, and then, you know, they win over the Cowboys or whatever the hell happened. But it's one of those things where you guys have classically been the good but not great, can't get over the hump, lose a key player. It's like you get old Montana, you get old Marcus Allen and get to the AFC Championship. You get Elvis Gerback, and then even when you're doing well, then he gets hurt or something like that. You know, I don't have a lot of sympathy because, you know, you did cost us Tom Brady with Bernard Pollard for like a whole season.
Yeah, but then you cursed us with Matt Cassel. So it was kind of, I know that's a far from repayment enough, but still, we got him off your hands. So, but then, okay, so then we got Drew Gooden, which for me, like he was at KU when I was in college, and they were good, some Final Fours, never quite made it. That was back with the Kirk Heinrich and Nick Collison era of
Kansas. Oh, you mean when Hakeem Warwick of Syracuse wanted that ball into the Super Bowl, Superdome night?
Correct.
And reigned supreme, and Jimmy Boeheim cut down the nets in 2003? Is that the team you're talking about, Chief?
Yeah, it was the team. It was the one that was a few years before he got caught for all that recruiting stuff. That was the team. Correct.
See, by the way, we've gone far into the show, and I have to say congratulations, and I'd like to congratulate all our Kansas City listeners out there, all our Kansas City Royal fans. If I could just say congratulations, you are the champions. Congratulations to the Kansas City Royals, the 2015 World Series Chance. Midnight Blue, well deserved, sir. And I said earlier off air that I believe this is the first time you and I, the New England Patriots, and now your Kansas City Royals, have shared a crown. We are both the reigning / defending champions. And that's a great feeling to share that with you. So it's great. One champion tips his tri-cornered hat to your crown, sir. So congratulations. As you know, we have many Kansas City Royal fan friends, but I'm overjoyed for all of them, especially way to go beating the Mets.
Thank you. And we will take that. And for those of you, if you guys watch SportsCenter, if you notice the beginning, that little montage, if you pay close attention, what you're seeing there are clips of whoever the reigning champion of whatever sport that is. So you'll see, you know, Patriots now, the Royals, you know, the past year it's been clips of the Giants. It took me years to notice that, but that's what that is. But did you
wait,
ever
what are you saying?
So when Sports Center starts, it's like dun 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 dun. Yes, you knew that. It's a championship montage before the show starts.
Oh yeah, well I know because I've had so many championship teams in the montage, sure.
Now we're sharing the montage.
Great. It's a great feeling to share the montage. It's a great observation. Welcome to the observation. Welcome to the montage.
Thank you. I'll tell you what, let's take our first...
How was the parade?
Yeah, let's take a break because I'm going to just gather my thoughts about the parade because it was a full just madhouse in itself. Yeah. But all right, we'll take a break. Guys, go to check out our sponsors, onelovely.com, which the lovely crew in Kansas City was represented in full for the parade. A bunch of guys gathered up. Great time. Either way, go to onelovely.
Onelovely.com. Onelovely.com.
Check that out. And if you're in Southern California, La Jolla area, go to Don Carlos Taco Shop. I've been meaning to, guys, these burritos, California burritos, amazing. Trevino burrito. If you're staying put, if you're traveling, like say, don't eat the Trevino burrito and then get in the car and try to drive to LA. Bad idea. But if you're getting the Trevino burrito and you're just going back to your hotel room to relax, do it because it's worth it. It's,
maybe a certain part of your body is going to be really relaxed.
It's delicious.
On fire, I don't know.
So follow him at EatABurrito on Twitter, eataburrito.com, Don Carlos Taco Shop on Pearl Street. Actually, catty corner from the La Jolla Comedy Store. So get a burrito.
It's a great place. It's a great place to go. Every time I go down to La Jolla, I try to eat a Don Carlos burrito.
It's worth it. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back right after. This ain't no splitting bill shit. I'm a peeled banana skis while listening to R. Kelly's greatest hits.
I have never, in growing up in Kansas City, ever seen a crowd like that, especially in my career of flying over the city. Of course, I was here for the 1985 in the infancy of my traffic reporting career. I think I've been doing that for a year in 1985, flying a Cessna 152 for radio stations, and it didn't look anything like today. Just a little while ago, all of this, the sea of humanity that we were talking about before, hard-pressed to find any land that wasn't covered by either a person or a car. This is the Liberty Memorial Promenade, and you can see still lots of cars dotting. I mean, they were parking everywhere. At one point, it looked like folks had just parked in the middle of the street, abandoned their cars, and just moved on. Still plenty of people trying to get out of here, though. We do have buses moving around and a huge crowd still trying to make their way out of this area. In fact, we'll show you right here, still a lot of people trying to catch buses. The parade route was unbelievable, stacked 15, 20 people deep, if not more, for that entire 3 mile or so stretch of the parade. And then, of course, that unbelievable scene of hundreds of thousands of people at the rally, even being joined after the parade ended by those who were on the parade route. Coming back live and still some gridlock around here, but nothing like what we saw earlier. Finally beginning to sort things out. That's a lot of people to clear out in 2 hours, but it looks like we're just about done.
Full of blue walls, bleed blue blood, and got blue balls.
So we are back, and Eric, to put simply, it was just magic. The whole experience, the whole day was magic.
I'm sorry, Steve. What are we talking about? Are we talking about the Kansas City Royals World Series champion parade through Kansas City, and you traveled in person to see it? Is that what happened? Is that what you're discussing right now?
I backed into it. Have you ever been to a victory parade yourself?
God, no, I don't believe I have, but it's one of those things, like, I don't think I've ever been in a helicopter, but I've seen so many that I feel like I have. Does that make sense? Every time I see people in a helicopter, I'm like, oh, I've been in a helicopter, but I don't think I've ever been in a helicopter. I've seen so many duck boat parades, not to sound like a fucking, you know, spoiled Boston fan, which I clearly am, right, but I've seen so many that I feel like I've been to a championship parade.
No, and that makes sense, because you've seen, I mean, we went over it a few episodes back. Was it 9? Can you just give us the rundown, starting with hockey, then go to NBA, then baseball?
Well, I'm saying, so since the year 2000, since the year 2000, we have four. So I know it from biggest
I'm a 16,
to
okay.
Four Super Bowl rings.
I'm a 16-year-old. I live in Andover, Massachusetts. Is that a city in Mass?
What are we talking about, Andover, Massachusetts?
No, I'm just saying, like, hypothetically, I'm just saying, I'm a 16-year-old, I'm about to get my driver's license, I live in Massachusetts,
right.
I was born.
So you, as a 16-year-old from Andover, Massachusetts, you would have lived now, at 16 years old, through four Super Bowl championships, 3 Red Sox World Series crowns, 1 Stanley Cup, 1 Larry O'Brien NBA trophy, And then personally, you wouldn't give a shit from Andover unless you were applying to Syracuse University, because then they would have won. You know, they would have won. They would have won, you know, 4 over your Kansas City Jayhawks.
Well,
Kansas okay. Jayhawks.
So that's 10. That's 10. That would be that's a 10. Hell. That's a hell of a hell of a. That's 10 championships if you're opting for a Syracuse tie in there.
So 9, sometimes 10. Yeah, for me personally, it's 10, right?
So, leading up, so I backed into the parade. I went as yeah. I had purchased the ticket.
Not literally. You didn't literally back into the parade, but you had, what I understand was you had been ready to go to game 6.
Game 6.
And I said, you don't even want to go to game 6. You want to win. You want to win at any point.
No,
I didn't win in Fenway until the 3rd championship. Trust me. It's okay not to win in Kauffman. You didn't want to lose that game that Matt Harvey was pitching so well in. That was a momentum thing.
As Harold Reynolds called it, this may be one of the best pitched games I've seen all season. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, he hadn't given up a run at that point, but he'd given up 4 hits, and I'm just thinking, like, hardly. I mean, it's a good game, but Jesus, man, just look like...
No, I think it's getting a little bit in love with the moment. It's a big stage. It was an absolutely must-win. It had that sense of like a, you know, it's like with the Why Not Us 2004 Red Sox when they came back after getting beat. When they won game 5, you know, I mean, when they won game 4, and then they had an amazing comeback to win, you know, dramatically in game 5 again.
Yeah.
Now you push it to game 6, and game 6... You know, that was Chile's bloody sock or whatever, and all of a sudden it was off. We were off to the races in game 7, and anything can happen, as Kevin Millar liked to say. and yep. anything did happen, and the greatest choke in Super Bowl, greatest, you know, in baseball history, greatest comeback, greatest choke, however you want to slice it, both ways is really fine by me, since it was the New York Yankees that we beat. You did not want to let this one slip away. You did not want to let this, because Matt Harvey, it was amazing. That was an amazing thing. But now let's enter the parade. You are going to go to Game 6. Go.
I mean, there was a point where I was rooting for a Game 6 because I wanted to go and experience the World Series game in Kauffman, being a greedy and spoiled Royals fan. But then as the days went by, and then the Mets finally win one, and then I'm just like, you know what? Let's just do it now. I had completely abandoned the hope of a Game 6 and just wanted to get the thing over with. And that moment when Hosmer breaks for home, you know, I'm just screaming. I'm like, he's going. Like, I'm just yelling that. It was, I mean, just incredible.
Interesting, sort of the opposite of how last year's against the, you know, it was the, you know, if the guy, you had a guy third who didn't go. That was, you know, that was the what if of the Giants.
Correct.
Correct. And this really reversed that. This was the antithesis of that, because I was a little like, hey, maybe he shouldn't go. Then it broke wide open.
It was one of those things. I'm trying to find the clip here where they're on. It was one of those things where at the time you're like, oh, is the coach sending him? You weren't really sure, but then you're just because of that exact same reason last year where you're like, well, if he goes, it just showed like if you got to make him make the play. You know, if
it was a surprisingly terrible throw from first, don't you think? I mean, really surprisingly bad.
Here's the interview here where I think he talks to here. Hold on. Let me see. Here's Hosmer's take on Fallon.
New technology, guys.
Hold on. We'll see. We'll see how new this is.
Hey, guys. Cheeser has just added a third line.
Yeah.
So we can now
what do you think of this?
What are you doing? Don't do that. Wait. Wow. I mean, what was that all about?
I don't even know. I mean,
they're watching the run.
This is a bad plan. I shouldn't have done it. It's not going to work out.
I mean, what do you do? Then you're like, it's a point of no return? I mean, because the announcer's going, and that's great base running, but I go, no, it's not. I was like, oh, wow, that's like something I would do in a video game or something. I go, try to steal home. I was like, but you're just like, oh, no. Like, did anyone give you, you're like, I can't stop now. I'm sorry. It's got to be cool. Just try to be as cool as possible.
Yeah, as soon as I took the first two steps, I was like, this is not a good move. I do not know why I'm doing this, but can't stop once you started, you know? It stings.
What were you throwing out of your room?
Crazy thing works sometimes.
Yeah, it does, right? Yeah, that was a crazy thing.
But that magic,
what a fluke. I mean, it was just a crazy thing that he threw the ball. So, I don't know, because, I mean, he had a lot of time. The whole thing was crazy to me. I was like, wow, you got to, I don't know how, what do you feel?
It was the way I drew it up.
Yeah, that's the way, you knew that was going to happen.
So right there, he's saying, like, I just went, you know, and I think having that.
Who is that interviewer?
That is Jimmy Fallon, and Salvador Perez is sitting next to him, and Hosmer sitting there, and then opposite him is Christy Brinkley, and Aziz Ansari is holding the World Series trophy.
Because I have to tell you, in a weird way, I thought I was listening to us talk, because it's like when I get excited and you're low-key, like, I was like, yeah, well, basically, I took two steps, and that was a big mistake.
So you're saying I was the Hosmer in the interview, and you were the Fallon.
And I was Fallon. Yeah, I was like, is this a recording about, like, this? I think we could do a reenactment of that, like, right now. So what did you do? I mean, I just knew you took those first two steps.
No, that reckless abandon paid off. I mean, that's for sure.
That's crazy. I mean, just Fallon is so animated. It made me realize that maybe I talked too quickly.
Excuse me. So, all right. So they win, and it's fantastic. And so at this point, it's Sunday night. Well, my flight, I'm flying out of LA, thanks to Spirit Airlines, which I love. Bag on them all you want, people. If you travel light, which I do, it's cheap. It's direct. I've used it several times. So if you're traveling light, go with Spirit Air. If you're checking a bunch of bags, do not.
I would love to see you be there. You would be a great spokesman for Cheese for Spirit Air.
Oh, yeah.
Traveling light.
No.
Fly Spirit.
Look, round trip.
Like I do.
Round trip, $200, 5 days before the flight. Actually, you can't beat that. So.
Yeah, because sometimes Spirit Airlines doesn't actually get to where you're going. that was the thing. Like, even the reason they're called Spirit is because they, like, renamed themselves after, like, a couple planes crashed.
But that's news to me. So maybe I won't be flying Spirit Air as frequently. I mean, you know what the...
Well, I don't know. You know, somebody double-check it on me. I don't want to... What I'd like to do is give Spirit a spokesman in cheese, because I think commercials... We should probably start producing...
Well, so what you're saying is they're like the Firestone to Cooper Tires. That's like when Firestone was blowing up all those people, and all of a sudden they all... Firestones disappeared, and then all of a sudden there was a Cooper Tire everywhere. I'm like, who's this?
A lot of people listen to us. I would think we were getting a lot of trouble from, like, maybe slandering a lot of corporations right now, maybe completely inaccurately.
Yeah, I'm not saying that, but I'm just like...
Disclaimers.
Yeah.
Disclaimer, Marino and Cheese have no idea what we're talking
about. This is no facts,
but
I was just like, how is there, you know, an entire... Anyway, yeah, that aside.
Okay, so, all right, so you're at the parade.
Traffic was crazy. Just insane. 800,000 people. And yes, the population of Kansas City itself is only 500,000, but there were 800,000 people there. You had people coming in from Iowa, down from Nebraska, up from southern Missouri, Oklahoma, I flew in, you know, from California, people, Topeka, Lawrence. I mean,
it had been 30 years. It had been a 30-year drought. So
30 years.
That's a generation. It's like, that's a good...
Two generations.
Generation. Yeah.
You know, and so luckily a friend of mine, Billy Emerson, who has a...
You're saying you're now the age your father was, you know, at most people, like a lot of people are like roughly the age their dad was when they won.
No, I'm the exact, you know, I'm the exact same age that my dad was when the Royals won. The exact same age.
Great generation.
You know, and so I know it's going to be a madhouse. So I leave my parents' house, and this is... Probably, I don't know, 10 miles from where the parade is actually taking place. And as soon as you get on the major road, it's already backed up. And everyone's wearing blue inside all the cars. So it's like very apparent to where they're going. And this is
like Woodstock.
It was exactly like that. Like to look at a sea of probably 500,000 people. And then there was another 300,000, like kind of, heard it.
You're in a rental car, or you're borrowing one of the parents' vehicles.
I believe I got the parents' vehicle, and so
I got you. I just want to. And then, are you just like, is Midnight Blue? Is Lou Gramm's Midnight Blue just on steady repeat, or is there?
No. This I've got a whole Royals playlist. I've got.
Right. Okay.
It's fantastic. The Royals playlist is my new favorite. In fact,
I mean, a lot of just like you realize, like even when you're in traffic, you're like, yes, but I'm in traffic for the World Series. Yeah, were there fist pumps and, you know, imagining high fives with yourself? Is there anyone else in the car? Or are you just traveling alone with, you know, with your beautiful mind, alter egos in the car?
I got my buddy with me, and then hold on 1 second. I want to try. This song's definitely playing.
Baseball with the Royals.
If you want to be.
Gosh, I'm telling you. Sounds like a beer commercial from the
1970s
being played like on TV in a movie. If that makes sense.
I think it's not too far off.
Like when they make Close Encounters of the Third Kind or ET, this is like something was playing on TV in the background.
Look here, break it down right here. All right, yeah. So
it's
that's
like Schaefer Beer. God, brought to you by Schaefer Beer.
So I'm playing that. I'm playing the Fetty Wap 1738. It's like the unofficial anthem or official anthem.
1738. All right. Yeah. Okay.
It's Lorenzo Cain's walk up song. So I'm playing that. I'm playing Baseball with the Royals right there. I'm playing the Terry Cashman Talking Baseball, the Royals version of it. You know, which is based on. Which was written in like 1981. So it's just primarily
Talking Baseball. Sure, I get what you do.
Yep, playing that. And then, you know, Midnight Blue. A couple. And then I've got other blue themed songs also.
Are you playing in center field? You know, like, put me in, coach.
Yep,
I'm ready to play.
Yes, the John Fogerty is most definitely on the baseball playlist. Right. I mean, how could it not be? I've got I've got the Willie Mays song, the Hey Willie. The old Joe. I got the Joe DiMaggio song on there. You know, just a lot of those classic baseball tunes. So I'm bumping those, and coming in through KCK now, I've rerouted over and over again through the industrial part of town, and there are people at this point. This is 3 or 4 miles, probably 2 or 3 miles from the actual parade site, and there are people parking and already walking, which is just on the side of the road. It's already, and at this point, it's 2 hours before anything is happening.
It's the Walking Dead Kansas City Royals edition. It's just, there are just people have abandoned vehicles and they're dragging children.
At this point, if the curb isn't red, they're parking there. That's kind of the mentality that at least that's what it looked like, being that far away and seeing families already just like, all right, this is as good as it's going to get, and just kind of throwing their hands up. Well, all the while, my destination was my friend Billy, who had a business downtown, 3 blocks off of the actual parade route, and he couldn't guarantee a parking spot, but he kind of gave me some ideas of where there probably would be one. At this point, still 2 hours before the parade. So sure enough, we find a spot that kind of looks sketchy, but ultimately was completely legal. It was like where a building, like let's say, had been a gas station or a garage. There had been some sort of garage there before. Well, now it was an office, but they kept the garage door just to kind of add to the industrial look. And they still kind of had like a pseudo driveway on the sidewalk, you know, where the curb dipped down. And he's like, "Well, it's a driveway." I'm like, "No, it's not. That's not a door. That's a wall now." And so we parked there, and that was like the last. I swear, the last spot. Any parking after that was completely illegal, and no one cared. They were like, "You know what? There's no just park wherever." People were blocking people in. I saw people after the parade trying to leave, just standing next to their car because 3 different people had to show up before they could even think about leaving, you know.
God, imagine that. Imagine if people had gone drinking, you know, because you're like, hey, man, fuck it, you know, and then you're just going drinking and whatever, partying, because it's, you know, you're going to get your after-party buzz on, after-parade buzz.
Well, it didn't even really seem like it was about, hey, let's go out and get a bunch of drinks. I mean, a majority of the crowd were families, you know, 6, 7, 8
right.
deep. You know, and so it wasn't like this rowdy element of just hooligans screaming and yelling. And I mean,
except
for everyone I was with. No, they definitely, they were around, but ultimately the mood was just very peaceful and just awesome. I mean, there were 3 arrests, 800,000 people. That kind of sums the whole thing up right there. 3 arrests.
Yeah.
In 800.
And they were Mets fans.
Yeah, they were Mets fans. So we find our way to my buddy's shop, and he's got his garage door open, and everyone's kind of meeting there. It's probably, you know, party like 30 or 40 people probably in and out. Well, he actually has a working bathroom. So out of nowhere, we look over, and there's just like a line of 20 people. Somehow the word, like, all these strangers were in line to use his bathroom. And I'm like, how do they know there was even a bathroom in here? And who are all these people? Like, no one knew who they were. It was just like families with kids. And we're like, how did they know there was a bathroom here? You know, it's just, right. I mean, it was just that chaotic. And so the parade starts, make my way down. I meet up with my buddy Will and his wife Jayla, and like, they're kind of right on the curb, so I'm able to stand on the street, and they're right behind me up on the curb, so I didn't feel like I was blocking anyone's view, really, or anything like that.
Right.
But about an arm's length
you
back.
You are a tall drink of water.
Yeah, I'm an arm's length back from the rail. Like, there's like 2, maybe 3 people in front of me before the rail, but I've got a great, great view of everyone on the parade, and we're on 19th and Grand. The parade route was like 3 miles, so let's say that's about halfway through the parade. And so everyone comes by. It was awesome to see them with their families. Then you had guys come by like Alex Rios is just sitting there. No one's – they broke it down truck. Every player, coach got their own truck with their name on the side of it. And it was
– every player and coach got their own truck.
Yes, exactly. So there's 40 trucks that come through, and they're all detailed up and all that good stuff. Plus the staff, all the vendors got to be in the parade. It was pretty cool. And so, but Alex Rios comes by just looking lonely as hell. Just like there were a couple players that didn't have anyone in the back. Raul Mondesi didn't have anyone, which I understand. I mean, he's 20 years old. His whole family.
Raul Mondesi.
Yeah, Raul Mondesi. Raul Mondesi Jr. Broken records, first player to make his major league debut in the World Series.
That's great. In
the history of baseball, pretty crazy. But so at this point,
I just like think Raul Mondesi.
Vin Scully. Like I have this tape. I'll try to dig it up and find it. You know, I'll look for about 5 minutes and then I won't be able to find it and I'll forget. But ultimately, Vince Scully and Rick was there, but I taped this. This is probably about 12 years ago. And he goes, it was Anaheim versus Dodgers.
I know this story.
He goes, Raul Mondesi, as usual, full of beans and bouncing around. Good to see him the other day. Of course, I'm just like, what? And then Bartolo Colon is actually pitching. He goes, he's talking about how players like Preacher Rowe and would travel from town to town on trains. And he goes, of course, Bartolo Colon wouldn't need a train. He'd be right on the back of Pancho the Mule. I'm just like, you can't just say Bartolo Colon would take a mule from L.A. to New York, Vin. Yeah, that's when I fell in love with Vin. I was like, wow, this guy can just say anything he wants and everyone's fine with it. That's awesome. So at this point, the parade has gone by and there's like the street sweepers, very much Mardi Gras-esque, where you've got just like four layers of street sweepers coming through and then parade's over. Well, we're all still kind of caged in. They've got the barriers up and I look down the street about, we're on 19th. We'll say on like 15th Street. I just see a mob of people like Boston Marathon, you know, style, New York Marathon style, just coming down Grand. And so they had just gotten done like pulling up all the barriers five blocks down the street. So I was like, clearly we had the green light to be in the streets. So I jumped the fence and at this point the parade is like just come by. So I unofficially for like a block and a half, two blocks all the way down to like 21st Street got to be in the parade. Everyone was still boxed in and there was just me and a couple other random people in the street waving, you know, and just kind of do.
So you got in the parade.
I was behind the street sweepers, but yeah, I mean, there was no one. There was me and four or five other people. I got a picture of it. I put up on Twitter at Sportsaholics where it's like,
how did Johnny Gomes do? How was the reaction to Johnny Gomes as he rolled through?
Johnny Gomes, people at that point weren't hip to Johnny Gomes. I mean, you saw what Johnny did, right? That speech?
Oh yeah, that was to happen or it was happening, and you were on the parade. It was like the big thing. The presentation was at the end of the parade or the beginning of the parade.
That was at the end of the parade. So at that point,
okay.
Hold. I'm trying to get. I'm gonna pull up the Johnny Gomes speech right here, just because it was so.
That'd be great.
I mean, at this point, I'm about 200 yards away. But my vision's, my sight's being blocked. See here.
Oh, that was the Johnny Gomes chant. I didn't realize that was just Johnny's
big act. People
are like, who?
For the heavy hearts that we gathered.
Hold on one second. That's a bad. I'm going to see if I can get a better one that's a little bit louder.
By the way, we'll take this moment to just say we're recording this day. We're recording this on November 11th.
Please take a moment
of
silence. For the heavy hearts that we gathered in our clubhouse and outside of our clubhouse, please understand what everybody had on their back for a minute.
He's got
Moustakas,
the flag.
CY, Volquez, understand, please give me a moment of silence. It's unbelievable what those boys did. It's unbelievable what they did. It's unbelievable what they did.
It's unbelievable.
They stole bases. They hit homers. Hey, guess what? Cy Young winner. Not on our team. Beat them. Rookie of the Year. Not on our team. We beat him.
He's doing this with a flag, and he's like walking.
Yep.
And he's like
MVP of the whole league. Sorry, guys. Not on our team. But we beat that guy, too.
The mic drop at the end is the best. I mean, that kind of...
Do you know why we beat him? Because all y'all people had our backs. And Dayton Moore put this team together. And Yost delivered it by being a captain of the ship.
You think God put it together? Did God put it together?
I mean, it would have seemed... It kind of seems like that, but... Now,
he was just saying the general manager put the team together, right?
Yeah, and then Yost was the captain of the ship. You know, so that awaited...
Oh, Yost.
Yeah, and so at this point, some of the cops look down the street. I'm in the parade, and then we kind of were walking, waving, it's awesome, smiling. It was... The parade started at noon. Right at noon, it went from overcast to a perfect 70-degree day, which, you know, for November, right. I think 5th is what the date was, is... Rare, a 70-something degree day.
And you're also thinking, like, maybe the government has fixed it. Like, somebody has control over the weather.
It's that perfect.
We've changed the weather.
Yeah, it's that perfect of a day. And so...
That happened to me once when I walked into Disneyland, like, in the parking lot, cloudy, overcast. As soon as you walk through the gate, you're like, wait a minute, everything was gone? It was a different environment entirely. It was crazy. Go ahead.
This is wonderful. And so... So we're waving, walking the group, and then all of a sudden the cops notice that obviously there's several hundred thousand people coming down the street towards them that have been freed. So they're like, oh, we might as well just free all these people now, because clearly that's cool, which is a good theory. The only problem was is there were still all the street sweepers. So they popped these guardrails up, and then just thousands of people mobbed the street, quickly surrounding all the street sweepers. They can't go anywhere. They start honking, there's whistles going, there's fans blocked in, like trolleys, all this madness. So then the cops quickly are trying to shut the gates again. So I've got to like make my way through a mob of people to squeeze through this gate before it gets cut off again, or else I'm stuck there for probably who knows how long. And so the last thing I'm thinking is like, I do not want to just follow the parade route to the parade, because a lot of people did that and it jammed up and then they couldn't. The crowd was so big, they were five blocks, six blocks away from the
actual...
You're
about to get out of the route. You're gonna break off in a separate route once again.
So I'm going to come around the backside of the memorial and the Union Station. And it was just weird. You would, like, these mob... Every intersection was packed. So you'd see, like, 2,000 people thousands coming over this bridge, and you're like, where are they going? Can you not go that way? And they're like, no, they've got it blocked off two blocks away. And so...
Now, did you have a celebratory, I'm back in Kansas City, and I went to the parade meal? Did you go to any certain place to be like, this is, I'm back, we've won, now I'm going to have this brisket or this... You know, barbecue.
Not really this time. I mean, normally I would have gone to an Arthur Bryant's on 18th in Brooklyn, which is a fantastic barbecue place, legendary. You know, you've got at one point during all this madness, I did go past Jack Stack, which in Midtown, which is a great barbecue as well. But no, this time it was strictly business. There for the ride, there for the enjoyment. Of being a world champion. And so the bridge is off, and then all of a sudden there's like this little, there's just a normal like set of stairs, like not even as wide as one you would see at a mall, that's going from the bridge down to this parking lot where these restaurants are. Well, I kind of come into the stairs like kind of in the middle of the mob, so I'm only maybe like 10 or 20 people back from accessing these stairs. Meanwhile, the other line stretches halfway across this bridge. I mean, there's probably 500-700 people waiting to use these stairs, you know, in a 20-minute line. And so once I get down these stairs, then I'm in a parking lot. So the mob's kind of headed around this building. So I follow the mob. Then all of a sudden, it stops and everyone's coming back at me because there's a wall on the other side of this building. So everyone's now like bumping into each other. And like you would follow, you're like kind of like, I mean, I'm like I'm moving swiftly because time is of the essence. There's just more and more and more people. It was like a sinking ship. You know, there's very much a Titanic panic, if you will, running around in the streets. And so at one point, I remember I was following these three people, and they dart between these cars. I'm like, all right, I'm going to follow them. Then all of a sudden, like the people in front of them, they run into like a huge mob. And so that we're stuck between cars. I go to turn around to walk out, and then five more people had followed me into there. So now I'm like pinned into all these cars until, you know, something, you know, somebody can move. And so at that point, find like this weird, it was like watching cockroaches, like explore any possible route of escape. You know, like people would go down an alley, turn around, come back, you know, it's like every single nook and cranny of was explored by this mob of people, like in trying to escape and get to this memorial to see like the speeches and everything. And so eventually it's like go through this hole in the fence, and then I'm on the Broadway Bridge, which is like a popular bridge, and it's just like Walking Dead, just thousands of people walking on this bridge that used to be some people driving, people parked on the bridge. I mean, it was just chaos. And so at that point I come in to the actual presentation, or, you know, whatever, where they're talking on the stage, where Johnny Gomes does the speech and everything. And at that point you come around, and there's thousands of people leaving. And so I ask if like, so is it over? And they're like, no, they haven't even started. But so at that point I'm thinking like, oh man, you know, a lot of people must be taken off, but not, I mean, just a fraction of the people. I come around and you just look and you're just like, oh my God, there's, you know, I was probably looking at 600-700, you know, not the entire crowd, but I'll never look at that many people in one spot again the rest of my life. And just trying to everywhere, it was like, should I climb up a tree? No, there's already 20 people in that tree. You know, like, I mean, seeing people, parents like set their kids on the roof of like porta potties so they could get a.
So you think you end up sitting up in trees, but you know, there's got to be a good percentage of people who fall off. Right, or just lose the grip, or the tree breaks. I mean, there have to be some related grade tree injuries. Somebody look that up. I need to know if there are any tree injuries.
Well, after the, you know, the speeches and everything, and let's go Royals chants, and we're going to come back next year, George Brett proclaiming this team was better than the 85 team. And it was the mayor, Sly James, who now follows Sportsaholics on Twitter. Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate that.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. You're our favorite mayor.
He gave a great speech, and, you know, just talked how much the team, you know, meant to the city and all that good stuff. But it was just, you picked a spot, and you just kind of went there and you were uncomfortable. And then people just slowly started filling in around you. It was like being surrounded by mud and quicksand, but with people. I don't know. That's kind of the best way I can describe it. Like, I was standing on the slope, horrible view, blocked by trees. I was standing there about 5 minutes, and then all of a sudden I noticed like 12 people, like any free space that was around me was now occupied by people sitting on the ground. Like, I couldn't even step back anymore. And I was just like, good Lord, just every square inch of that lawn was just completely covered. It was just unbelievable, you know. But that just goes to show, a lot of people drove a lot of miles, flew a lot of miles, you know, going back to California. My flight, you know, probably had like 20 people decked out in royal stuff. I high-fived as many people as I could. And that was the one thing too, because, I mean, the traffic was comparable to Los Angeles 5 o'clock Friday, you know, just kind of gridlocked everywhere, but with half as much surface area to drive on. Like, you know, the highways are only four lanes instead of seven, you know? And so all these people came in, and it was 2 hours to drive 12 miles, and everyone's in a bad mood. So before the parade, as I'm walking by people, I would like, don't let the traffic get you down. Let's go Royals. High five, high five. Just kind of trying to remind as many people as possible. Hey,
what are you doing here?
Yeah, you're here to celebrate. Don't let the, you know, everyone, I saw guys like, it took me 2 hours to get down here. You know, one guy I saw arguing, and everyone's like, yeah, it took everybody 2 hours. Just relax, dude. It's like, just, sorry you're late for work, but you should have planned this out a little bit better. Like, but it was great, man. It really was. Can't wait to hopefully do it again next year. And who knows, maybe another 800,000 people will show up.
Well, I sure would like the Patriots and Royals to both repeat. That would be a wonderful thing. How about I'll put it up there? I'd like to put up the twofer.
Well,
and, all right, Cheese. I think we should. Well, go ahead.
No, I was just saying. And it just announced today. You got Perez, Salvi, Hosmer, and Escobar all winning Gold Gloves again. So congratulations to that. The awards keep coming.
Oh, the winning just winners keep on winning. Winner's gonna win.
That's right. That's right.
Winner's gonna win.
Keeps on rolling. Well, anything else you want to add? You know what? Hey, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap everything up. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right, perfect. Guys, remember, onelovely.com. Just go to the website, click a couple buttons. You're going to find something there you want to buy. It's O-N-E, lovely, L-O-V-E-L-Y.com. Onelovely.com. Go check it out. Buy some stuff.
Onelovely.com.
All right, and we are back, guys. We actually ran out of time here. We got to let you go, but hey.
Yeah, we almost was a cliffhanger, guys. We had to come back special just to record this ending. So we're running out of time. You can find me on Twitter. I rarely tweet, but here it is at OthatMarino.
That's right.
And then follow me the show will go up in Hollywood if you're in town on Sunday nights, 11 to 1.
Amen.
And by the way, my sound guy, Kenny Lyons, just got himself banned from the Comedy Show for the next 2 months. So if anybody out there can help run a soundboard and help Periscope the show up, go up Sunday night, 11 to 1, get in touch with me. Find me, Eric Marino, on Facebook, OthatMarino on Twitter. Just contact me. Find me. Come to the show up, go up. That's how you get part of the show, be part of the greatest, most loved, most hated open mic in the world, in the history of the world. What else you got, Steve?
Yeah, that's about it. You know, episodes at John, J-O-N, is here. Follow us on Twitter at Sportsaholics. Guys, keep on listening.
I do have one last question. I did have one follow-up thing about the Royals, and this is a little bonus thing for people who listen this far. Here's the last thing. You know, that South Korean fan that you guys brought over last year, and then it's now like a mini 30 for 30, right?
Sung-woo Lee, yeah.
Has anyone contacted him, and has there been any reactions? Has there been any public statements from South Korea's biggest Royal fans?
I believe on Twitter there have been a few tweets of celebration and congratulatory tweets to players, things like that, and the fans. But, you know, he managed to come back this year for a little bit as well, and so for the 30 for 30 debut. So, you know, he brought back over a little bit of that flair, and hopefully he'll bring it back again next year in 16, and then the year after that in 17, and I don't think...
All right, you're just getting greedy now. Now you sound like LeBron on the Heat.
Look,
a two, a three. All right.
A yearly song.
I'm Eric Marino.
Yeah, just stay obsessed, guys. Thanks for listening. Spread the word. Go to onelovely.com, at Eat a Burrito, Don Carlos Taco Shop if you're in San Diego, Southern California, La Jolla area. Guys, and with that, stay obsessed, and we'll see you next week.
Stay obsessed, and insert the train whistle here, because... Oh, wait, here it is. Wait, and stay obsessed.
There it is. All right, guys. Next week. Bye.